Well, good morning. I tell you what, the last minute, everybody just popped in. This is good. This is good. Well, once again, good morning, Westbrook. The events that took place in the early hours of this new year should open our eyes to the world in which we live. As Christians, I believe we must learn to set for ourselves new priorities. Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. My title this morning is New Year, New Priorities. This is the first Sunday of a new year. Think about that for a minute. A new year, a new chapter, a new verse, or is it going to be just the same old story? Ultimately, we write it. The choice is ours. Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote, "The only person you are destined to become is the person you decide to be." Yes, the choice is ours, but unless God empowers us to change, we will once again settle for the comfortable, familiar status quo. I was going to read the first five verses of Psalm 103, but as I read it, I thought, you know, I can't just stop with the first five verses, although that we are going to concentrate on that. But I want to read the entire psalm. So you may want to turn there, Psalm 103. Praise for the Lord's mercies. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel." Next week, God willing, I want to cover some of that. "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his host, you ministers of him, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Now, I want to talk about those first five verses for a few minutes. They set the tone for this psalm. David urged the readers to avoid allowing God to become so commonplace that we forget to praise him. Because, see, praise is what brings us into his presence and takes our eyes off of self. So let's take a closer look at those verses, and you'll see what I mean. But the key is to keep your eye fixed on Jesus rather than on self. And I believe that could be priority number one. So it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, let's think of some of those benefits. Verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals your diseases. See, you get no forgiveness from just looking at your sins and rehashing them over and over, vowing, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better. No, he's the one that forgives your sins. All you have to do is simply ask and turn. And you get no healing by constantly thinking and talking about all the things that ail you. Haven't you ever been around somebody and that's all they want to talk about? Oh, I have this pain. I have this allergy. No. He heals all your diseases. Verse 4 says, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. See, if you just constantly think about the pit you're in, and you fix your eyes on your failures, nothing is going to change. He redeems us, and he crowns us with love and compassion. And verse 5, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. See, if we're constantly thinking about and longing for all of the things that we don't have, or worrying about the number of years that you still have left on this earth, the bottom line, if you look at yourself, you're always going to come up short. But Psalm 34, verse 5 says, they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. So I guess priority number one can be summed up by simply saying that this is a good time to fix our eyes on the only one who knows what this new year holds. And a good New Year's resolution for us would be to look to God rather than look what our mind wants us to think on, and never allow our circumstances to dictate how we view things. God remains faithful regardless of what our eyes and our mind wants to tell us. Colossians 3, 1 through 3. If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So let's think maybe on priority number two. Find true riches. Proverbs 13:7. There is one who makes himself rich, yet has nothing, and one who makes himself poor, yet has great riches. We're probably all familiar with the story of the rich young ruler found in Mark chapter 10, but I want to read that, starting in verse 17. Jesus counsels the rich young ruler. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And he answered and he said to him, teacher, all of these things I have kept from my youth. And then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way. Sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come, take up your cross, and follow me." But he was sad at this word, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He went away sorrowful. You know, he still had his riches. Riches cannot make you happy and content. You're always striving for more. He was poor in spirit. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says, "Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." It says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." It goes on to say, "Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life." Notice it said, the love of money is the root of all evil. Money, my goodness, no. The Bible says it's God who causes you to gain wealth. He desires for us to have everything, but for what purpose? So that we can use it to build his kingdom. We need to not let the love of money rule us, but use what God puts in our hands. Let's move on quickly to priority number 3, making time for prayer. Jesus began a parable in Luke 18 saying that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. What is prayer? It's simply talking to God. It doesn't have to sound religious. Doesn't have to sound like how somebody else prays. It's simply just opening yourself to God. Those who have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit have an extra element in their prayer life, and that's praying in their heavenly language. I find that when I don't know how to pray, I simply open myself to God and let the Holy Spirit pray through me until the burden is lifted. I would encourage each of us to find that special place in Him and develop a deeper prayer life this year. And if anyone's interested in seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit or learning more about what's available to them, Pastor and I are always available. Priority number 4, the importance of forgiveness. Colossians 3:12-13. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." Russ and I are examples of what forgiveness brings about. Don't allow bitterness or unforgiveness take root in your heart. Be quick to forgive. Yeah, I had several more priorities written down that we could cover this morning. But rather than that, I would encourage each of us, instead of making New Year's resolutions that revolve around, you know, how to improve the natural man, like, you know, I'm going to lose weight, going to exercise more, I'm going to start eating better. All of those things might benefit the natural man, but what about that part of man that will live forever? 1 Timothy 4:8 reminds us by saying, "Bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." So, if we do make New Year's resolutions, how about this? New Year's resolution number 1, I will live for God. New Year's resolution number 2, if no one else does, I still will. I'm going to close this morning with the words of Charles Spurgeon. I wish, my brothers and sisters, that during this year you may live nearer to Christ than you've ever done before. Depend upon Him. It is when we think much of Christ that we think little of ourselves, little of our troubles, and little of the doubts and fears that surround us. Amen.